This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim wa ba'd. Now, it's good to kind of see everyone. I know we've been texting on our WhatsApp group every so often. There haven't been as many questions come through, and that's usually because in the beginning, we're kind of overwhelmed. I'm going to Hajj, alhamdulillah. And I'm going to visit the house of Allah. I'm going to visit the Medina of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there's moments of great anticipation and happiness for it. And there's always this reservation about what should I do? What should I ask for? Is it going to go as smoothly as I want? I know some of you have been to Hajj before. How many have been to Umrah before? Just by show of hands. All right. Alhamdulillah. How many have performed Hajj before? Okay. So, alhamdulillah, we have three seasoned and experienced guides with me. So, I'm going to throw everything on them, inshallah. They're going to have to do a lot of the heavy lifting, inshallah. All right? You got to help. And the reason I say that, the Hajj is always your own. The first Hajj, it's very personal. It's like, it's very inner. But the second and third and fourth Hajj, may Allah give us many more, is something where you look for opportunities to serve others. And those of us, alhamdulillah, for the last 4 or 5 years, I go to Hajj, alhamdulillah, every year. Every year as you Hajj, you look for greater opportunities, wider opportunities, not just the group that I lead, but wider opportunities to be in the assistance of others. You begin to think about Hajj as being something that is beyond what it is that you want or what it is that Allah is asking of you, but to facilitate the needs of others. And the time that we're going to spend today, we're going to end in about 45 minutes, and then we're going to break for Salatul Dhuhr, have a little bit of food, and then we'll come back and do discussion questions, inshallah, for those of you who want to stay behind. I want the time that we have together to be very real and very practical, to be something that is about the things that are essential for you before you depart Australia. So I'm not going to talk about tawaf. Now, you're going to do tawaf. But that's something that I'll talk to you about in Medina. Every day in Medina, I'm going to meet with you, inshallah, after breakfast and after asr. Those of you who aren't asleep or those of you who wish to attend. So after every fajr, breakfast, when everyone is kind of getting settled in, we'll have an hour training session where you can ask questions, you can talk about things, we could share common experiences. And after every asr prayer, right after asr prayer, we'll come back from the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ and we'll sit in the courtyard near the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ and we'll have our class. And there will be other people from other groups who come and join us. And there will be other asr sessions where I'm not going to lead it. It'll be like Yasser Qadi will lead it or Umar Sulaiman will lead it. So all of us as a network, we kind of assist each other in that cause, inshallah. And that's part of the Hajj experience that I want to give you that maybe other people aren't able to facilitate, inshallah. We want it to be something that is wide-reaching. And I want it to be something, inshallah, that you enjoy. Now, our sister, Jazallah Khair, she's giving you an itinerary, a day-by-day kind of breakdown of what kind of happens in the day. When we leave, what happens in the airports. Those are things that are operational and logistics. So one of the first things that I want to say to you is, I will only answer questions that relate to the religious fiqh, jurisprudence aspects of the tour. I have absolutely no knowledge about ticketing, or baggage, or buses, or facilities, or even the hotels. Those aren't things that are part of my involvement. My only involvement is your spiritual guidance and answering the questions that you get the best, most accepted, mabrur hajj that you have been intending on, inshallah. That's the hope, that's the aim of my service to you. You'll hear a little bit later from Sister Rosie, Sister Aida, and the others from the Mahsuri team who will talk to you about some of the other things that they can answer and speak on. And you'll notice even in the WhatsApp group that there's two groups. There's one where it's, I kind of lead the discussion in the questions and I'm very firm, please don't put anything unless it's related to questions or something relates to the Hajj. And anything operations, anything about seat assignments, baggage, and all of that, inshallah, is in the operations WhatsApp group. I wasn't even part of the WhatsApp group until yesterday. Did you see when they added me? Oh, Yahya's just been added, right? That's when I joined operations, because that's entirely their domain. That's something that, inshallah, I've requested that they take very great care in. First thing I'm going to begin with is shopping. You guys say, Shaykh Yahya, we're going to Hajj, you're talking about shopping? Yes. The essentials of Hajj. Now, do you see how I'm dressed today? This is Hajj clothing. You guys say, Brother Yahya, I thought you should be like jubba and mashallah, like amama and so on. Even this is a little bit of a stretch. Even this is a little bit of a stretch. Usually I have a baseball hat to keep the sun out. Now, last year in Hajj, the temperature was 45 degrees. Because you're there in August, right? So it's 45 degrees, it's a dry heat, alhamdulillah. Arafah gets a bit humid. Arafah gets a little bit humid. But generally speaking, you're looking at 40 to 45 degree heat day, and you're looking at walking through that a good 4 to 5 kilometers. A good 4 to 5 kilometers. So when I put on the group yesterday, make sure that you start getting your fitness up, you start walking a little bit. That is something that is necessary. For those of us who can't take those journeys, you'll purchase a wheelchair and all of us will take turns, inshallah, pushing you along. That's part of the beauty of the Hajj. And there'll be people outside your group. You see someone struggling to push, and hey, let me take you a little bit, because you're all going the same way anyway. You're all going to the Kaaba. You're all walking the same way. Everyone's going to help everyone. Someone's bag's a little bit too heavy, you're going to carry it a little bit. Please don't make your bag heavy. Inshallah. All right, we'll get to that. All right. So on this table and at lunch, inshallah, I want you to walk by and I want you to see my Hajj kit. So literally when I leave Perth, this is my Hajj bag. I know I fly the Langford Islamic colors. I'm a bit, you know, whatever. But this is my Hajj bag. It's literally a backpack, but it's a good backpack. And it's got wide straps so they don't dig in my shoulder. It's got a belt at the back so I can secure it at the back, in my back, so it's not waving around. And I tie it up really high so it's not hunching my shoulder. And it's something that has enough pockets. And you can see I have my little hooks. There's always 3 or 4 of these hooks on it. I'll talk to you about why these hooks are important. Aside from this, when I'm not carrying gear and I'm not going to Mina, I'm not going to Arafah where I'm going to need to spend the night, this is either this bag or one of these bags suffice. Now you're going to say, well, what do you put in this bag? Well, you're not going to have your passport. Once we land, your passports are going to be taken by the government, the authorities there. You don't have to worry about your passport, but you will have money. And believe it or not, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open the hearts of those whose hearts have darkened. There are people who literally go to Hajj for nothing else than theft. And there are people who target Australians, Americans, people who are speaking English, for no other reason than they know that they probably are carrying US dollars and so on. And you want to keep your property in front of you. You don't want this bag behind you. Because in Tawaf, there will be maybe 20, 30 hens touching you. There's an old Indonesian woman is holding on for dear life. She's holding on to you and you look back and okay, inshallah, I'll take you there, right? There's people all over you. So the moment you have your property in front of you, you can get this still online. It's about 7-day delivery on eBay, about $20. It's not expensive. And you can go to Anaconda, you can go to Kmart, and you can find something similar that you keep in front of you. If not, one of these Rebel Sport is sufficient. What you're going to have inside it are your keys, your mobile phone, your small little prayer mat, because you will be forced to pray often on the street. Something as simple as this is an enormous benefit, and it's a little prayer mat that you'll purchase in Medina. You don't have to worry about purchasing it here and where am I going to find it. I'll talk to you about where to get everything. As you go home today, I've taken a picture of everything that I bought, in which store that I bought it, and how much it cost. Only two stores, Kmart and Kohl's. All right, like you can go to Carousel Shopping Center right after you're here. Everything that I have there, Kmart and Kohl's, and you're good to go, inshallah. So the first two essentials are what you put things in. You want a small bag that you can keep in front of you, either in front of you on your hip or in front of you on your chest. If you're an Instagrammer and you know you want to share the whole Hajj, you know, it makes it nice and easy for your phone. If you're a person who's worried about carrying, you know, your wife has said she made the mistake of bringing gold with her, which are naughty, naughty sisters, please don't bring gold. You buy gold in Medina, you don't bring gold to Medina, right? Your husband will start sweating now. Buy gold. There's a whole street called the Street of Gold, right? Literally. The brother's already sweating. Are you sweating, Yafi? Yeah. He's sweating, mashallah. All right? So don't take bangles. Don't take expensive things with you. Don't take expensive watches with you. Don't take extra luxurious things, inshallah. So this and this are essentials, either one or both. I usually tend to bring both because sometimes you get annoyed of one of them. Sometimes you want to change up. If you're wearing a jubba, you might want to have one of these. If you're wearing, you know, a shirt like this, this kind of fits under it and you're good for the prayer, inshallah. An absolute necessity, and I know Mahsuri provides one. This is my heavy duty one. And you can go to Rebel Sport, it's about $20. You can get an Adidas or an Under Armour one. It's about $21. And basically it's a drawstring bag. When you arrive at the Haram, you cannot leave your shoes. And when I walk to the Haram, I'm literally wearing my Nikes. These will be, inshallah, my Hajj shoes. Right? You want shoes that are quick, slip on and off, that they have laces. And you want to be able to just slip them on, slip them off. They have a mesh, they're breathable. You don't have to get Nikes, you don't have to get Reebok. You could get whatever from Kmart. But you need good sneakers. Something that you can walk distances from. Okay, it's not the slippers that are, it's not a slipper kind of condition. You don't want to be wearing thongs and other things most of the time. Once you get there, you want to be able to put them somewhere and be able to draw them. And I'll show you, mashallah, everyone's ready for Hajj. The adhan is Allahu Akbar. So you want your shoes to be there, and it's a simple draw and close. And in Salah, you can pray with them on. You have all your gear, all your belongings with you. You're able to purchase things and put them inside. This is, and it's something that makes your Hajj worthwhile. I know even from some of the people who've gone to Hajj before, I have brothers-in-law who've gone to Hajj, and they didn't have one of these, so they forgot to bring it on the day, and they put the shoes somewhere, and you come back and all the places in the Haram look the same. You're praying like you thought it's there, but somebody else has picked them up because they look similar or it's a different size. And all of a sudden they have to walk until they get to the market without shoes and blisters and their feet get burned and so on. Save yourself the heartache. Make sure you have a nice one of these. Water bottle will fit in it. Your dehydration tubes will fit in it. Duct tape will fit in it. Essentials, which I'll talk about shortly, inshallah. Drawstring bag, good quality one. I know Mahsuri will provide one. Now, most of the time, the questions that you're going to ask about Hajj relate to Ihram. And Ihram, you're only going to be in Ihram for Umrah for maybe about 6-7 hours, 8 hours when we get initially in Tikka. And we're going to do our Umrah, it's going to be 6-7 hours. I'm talking about bus time and getting to the Haram and doing our Umrah, right? And then you're out of Ihram. Then you're back in shoes, you're back in shirts and pants. Then when Hajj begins, literally a total of maybe 2 days, 2.5 days that you're in Ihram. So when you look at the 21, 25 days, you're only looking about 2-3 days where you're in the state of Ihram. So don't make your purchases just about Ihram. make whatever you're carrying about things that extend by. And that's why I said linen kind of cotton shirts, loose pants with pockets that have, you know, buttons, good socks. And for the sisters, socks that have their little ribbing, you know, the ones that you get with the little bit of rubber sole. You can get them in Kohl's. I've taken a picture of it for you. They're about $8 a pair. You can put those socks on, inshallah. An alternative for that are these. I know guys have stayed in hotels, and you can purchase these as well. When I enter the haram, I normally will put on a pair of slippers. And the reason for that isn't because the haram isn't clean, it's because the ground is marble. And when you're walking on marble, 5 to 6 kilometers, to make tawaf on the inside, on the outside circuit, is about 5.6 kilometers. So to make the 7 circuits in the inside, it's nearly 7 kilometers. And I can tell you in Hajj, most of the time, you're not going to be able to make it downstairs into the area. And probably would prefer to do it upstairs because there isn't a crush. You're going to finish upstairs quicker than you'll finish downstairs. Right? You're going to finish upstairs quicker than you finish downstairs. And we'll talk about that. So slippers like this, something that you use just for the haram, that are inside your bag, where you get out of your shoes, put those on, put these in here, and those slippers, you only wear in the haram, they're clean, there's no najasa. It is something that you'll see all the security forces, all the police officers, all the imams that lead the prayers do the same thing, inshallah. Don't feel shy about that. Now, one of our brothers, as I was coming in, he showed me a pair of thongs. He said, are these okay for ihram? Now, there are two styles that I will recommend for you for ihram. The first is this, and I do recommend that you get a good pair. These are actually a gift that I'm giving to a brother. I couldn't find my size in them, but it was in his size. He's joining us from Melbourne. It's a brother named Rifat. You'll meet him, inshallah, in Medina, or maybe in Dubai, on the connection to Medina. So you want something that can lace up, that will attach at the back. And the Prophet ﷺ, when he limited the attire of shoes for men, what he said was, don't let it cover your ankle bone. So anything that isn't covering your ankle bone and the top of your foot, so where this area is open and where your ankles are open, is acceptable. You'll notice that there's a lot of people who wear the $2 thongs, you know, the $2 ones. Please, don't do that. The heat of the ground is going to penetrate through them. It's going to melt them very quickly. It's going to give you blisters. It's going to be uncomfortable. Get yourself a nice pair of lace-up thongs. Here's the other option. I just bought these actually today. I went into Kmart right before coming. These were in Kmart for $7. All right? Now, they're not as fancy as the Nike ones. These are the ones that I usually wear. These are Hush Puppies. They're all attached together. They're not leather. You don't want something leathery because your feet, you're going to be making wudu and so on. You want something that's waterproof, and you want something that will last your journey, inshallah. And once you're in the state of ihram, you're going to be wearing these quite often, running down to the masjid and so on. So these are acceptable. These are acceptable. It doesn't cover your ankle bone. It is something that is acceptable in the sunnah. You don't have to get those, you know, those Haviana ones, or the one that has the little straps. In the long run, they will be something that will not be comfortable for you. Another essential item is for your electrical needs are these two types of plugs. Now, they use European plugs and British plugs in the United in Saudi Arabia. You want to purchase one of each of them, where your Australian plug can fit in, and so on. It's enough, inshallah, for one room. And what I normally have with my little bag is I'll normally have one of these power banks, power boards, and one of these plugs will fit on it, and then 3 or 4 of us who are sharing the room or whatever it may be are able to access the same. But get your own one, inshallah. In Mina, there's only one plug for the tent. And we'll run one line for the sisters from it, and we'll run one line for the brothers. And we have to alternate, or we lose light and we lose electricity. So there will be a regime of when you can charge your phone and so on. Now that brings me to this next item. All of you are quite familiar with power banks. You want one that's relatively stable, that has more than one connection. I'm currently running two phones off it at the moment. It is something that will make your life much easier. And that way you can charge that overnight when everyone is sleeping and they don't need their phones. And that way you have juice and power for the rest of the day, inshallah. Do invest in a good one. You can get them from Officeworks and so on. Now the big question is, we can't use anything with soap, with scent, with smell. What's that all about? And that's actually a major misconception. What the Prophet ﷺ said was that when you're in a state of ihram, you should not perfume yourself. Now that's very different than coming in contact with something that has a scent. And people misunderstand that. So I've even had one brother say, are we allowed to eat oranges? I said, yes, why? He goes, because it smells like orange. I said, of course it smells like orange, but you're not taking the orange to perfume yourself with the scent of orange. So here are some of the important options. And once again, I said, I'll send you these messages. Goat's milk soap. It's hygienic. It's $1.60 in Kohl's. And it says no sulfates, no parabens, fragrance-free, vitamin E for sensitive skin. $1.60. All right? Wet ones. This is the only one that I know that is fragrance-free. You can get these in Kohl's for $2 a pack. It'll tell you antibacterial hand wipes. You want this. Every time you go out to eat, it's better than the squirty thing. Do your hands, then do the table before you eat. Save yourself, get 5 or 6 of these packets. A lot of people that get sick from the food, isn't the food that's a problem, is that they're opening a door handle and they have something that's contaminated them. And before they eat, before they drink, they haven't given themselves a good wash or a good hand clean. Alcohol wipes are just good. That's actually what this is, right? I recommend in your carry-on bag, as you're walking, that thing that's in front of you, you have one of these, you have a couple of the alcohol wipes in case you get a little cut or an injury on your foot as you're walking, something happens, just give yourself a good clean. It has a smell of alcohol, but it's not a perfume that is being added. At the back, some of our sisters, Jazakumullah Khair, I was actually gifted this maybe on Thursday. And some of the sisters here in Perth, they've started, they've been to Hajj before and they know kind of the concerns that people have. And they said, Sheikh, we wanted to give you this gift. And I actually invited them. I said, look, I'm doing this Hajj seminar, come. So they have deodorant, which is a scent-free coconut oil shea butter. I haven't used it. But as another option, also in Kohl's for $3, unscented, that's for men. There's a women's one as well, unscented. Don't go to Umrah smelling funky. Don't go to Hajj and say, oh no, we're not allowed to use any deodorant. No, use deodorant, please. Use deodorant, but use one that is unscented, inshallah. You're going to say, oh, I need something for my hair and something that that I can shampoo with and a conditioner. Now, the sister, Jazakumullah Khair, this is sunflower oil. It's a body extract, body wash, sunflower oil, oat extract, and they have a shampoo, which is vegan and unscented with oat extract and aloe vera. They also have for lips and hydration and things like that, other nice products. There's many of us who get airsick. But if you kind of get airsick, you're also going to get bus. And I can tell you, the bus journey that's going to go from Medina to Mecca, which is normally about 4.5 hours, 5 hours, will probably take about 8 to 12 hours. And the reason, so you're sitting on a bus for like 8 to 12 hours. Last year, I didn't go to Medina first for Hajj. We went from Jeddah Airport to Mecca. That was 6 hours. It's only an hour and a half normally drive, right? If you take a cab. But you can't take a cab because they have to stop you, check passports, give the passports into the station, everyone, they count everyone on the bus, it's a very controlled process. So if you get air sick, if you will get bus sick. If I can ask you to purchase yourself anti-nausea pills, Quells, or something of that nature. Go to a pharmacist, tell them a little bit about your medical history. Say, listen, I normally get sick. What's the best thing to take? There's also natural products that you can take. You want to have little tissue packs other than the wet wipes also in that little pack of yours. And now I want to talk to you about something very serious, which is dehydration. Now in my group last year, alhamdulillah, I didn't have anyone get sick, but in previous years, I have had people get sick. And I have had people who almost missed Arafah because they were violently sick. They weren't drinking enough. And because some of us were not used to kind of the toilet situations in places like Mina and Arafah and so on, you look at the lineup and you can say, oh, I'll just go another time. But there's no other time. And if you're only going to the restroom, when you need to go, you're going to find yourself in trouble and you're going to give yourself a urinary tract infection. You're going to get sick and it's going to become a problem. What you need to do is anytime you see a toilet that's relatively clean, you got your antibacterial, you get a bottle of Dettol, which is a Dettol, and you just spray a little bit, you hose it down, and you go in and you relieve yourself, even if you don't need to relieve yourself. Because you don't know when the next opportunity is, it is an act of self-preservation. But most important, I want all of you to have your own supply of Gastrolite. Now, Gastrolite, it's just, it's from Kmart once, or Kohl's once again. It's a little tablet. You drop it in your bottle of Zemzem. You know, you fill up Zemzem. You put one of these in Zemzem. It tastes like raspberries or something. And it replenishes some of the salts that you've lost from the sweating that you've become accustomed to. You've been sweating so much, you don't know that you're dehydrating. And if you wait until you feel kind of dizzy, it's already too late. Then I have to organize someone to take you to a hospital, give you an IV, and then it becomes a problem, not just for yourself, but the rest of the group. So I ask you, inshallah, for each and every one of you, you need to have three of these bottles. In this is 20 tablets. You're going to be taking two a day, one in the morning, one in the afternoon, as we're walking along. Another good option is this GU hydration drink tablets. They don't have caffeine. That doesn't have caffeine. You want something that doesn't have caffeine. Because if you have caffeine, then you find that your sleep is irregular. You want to be able to sleep well. And I've taken pictures of this as well. This was $5 at Rebel Sport. It's something that runners use. If you don't want to drink it, they have chews. And it's like a lolly. And as you're walking along on our way from Mecca, from Mina to Muzdalifah, on your way from Muzdalifah to Mina, or from Mina to Jamarat, you want to chew two or three of those and have lots of water, inshallah. All right? So these are essentials. They are as important as the ihram you wear. Now, I hope I'm being clear with that. The Gastrolite and these kind of products is as important as the ihram you're wearing. As important as the shoes on your feet, inshallah. Now, a sensitive topic for men is chafing. Now many of us, mashallah, we're accustomed to wearing pants, we're wearing under jocks, we're wearing underwear. In ihram, rub your hands together for about 30 seconds, I can feel the heat. Of course, is that you get a huge feeling of discomfort. So Vaseline, everyone please have your own tub. No one wants to share with you this. No one wants to share this with you because it's a very limited supply. There's certain things that will sell out in Mecca before you get there. One, dehydration. All of that is sold out because the pharmacy can't restock it. And people get sick and people need it. So this sells out. This sells out. Antibacterial wipe sells out. Those are things that you want to carry with you, inshallah. Hook. Say, brother, yeah, what's this hook? What's going on? What's happening? In Mina, in Arafah, and 3 nights between Arafah and Mina, none of the bathroom doors have hooks. And when you take off your ihram to have a shower, when you're going to the bathroom, there's nowhere for you, sister, to put your scarf. There's nowhere, brother, for you to hang up your thing. This is $3 from the Red Dot. You can buy this one from Kmart, 3-pack for $3, right? You will forget it on one of the doors, so don't just come with one, because I'm not going to give you mine. I'm just telling you. Everyone starts looking at me like, oh, Sheikh, is that a hook? Like, that's my hook. You see, it says Yahya. It's not mine. I know it's Hajj, Akhi, and I want to be generous, but you've proven that you're a forgetful person. So if I give you this, it's gone, right? And this is a lifesaver. This is very important. Along with this is this hook. Now, when we go to Mina, I will not allow you. And you're going to say, brother, yeah, that's very harsh. Well, it's reality. I will not allow you to bring any rolly bags or any carry bags. Because in the end, you're going to ask me for it. I've done this show a few times. I've seen the movie till the end, right? And I know you're going to be one of those sweet sisters. And I said, please, brother, can I please? I need extra. And I'm going to say, sister, no. Nah. And we're in Hajj, don't make me have to argue with you, please. So you're going to need one of these bags. And one of the reasons I ask you to buy this, this is in Kmart, you get a set of two for $2, all right? It's a quick release. In Mina, there's no space. Like the room that we're in, the place you pray and the place you sleep and the place you eat is the same room. It's literally a room this big. And they're going to draw a tent between it. Sisters are going to be on that side. Brothers are going to be on this side. And there's going to be these little couches that fold up into chairs. And that's your life for 3 days. So where do you put your bags? Well, I don't want your bag all over the place. And what you do is you flick the bag above your sleeping place. All right? So all of you need to have a clear. You click your bag. Makes things easy. You can also add things to it. Your hat. Your water bottle, whatever it is, it's something that is a lifesaver. Myself as well, one of the reasons that I have it on the side there is when I want to bring my, when I've been walking for a little bit of time and I want to bring my bag together and I want to release a little bit of tension from my shoulder, is that I can click it on this side as well. And therefore, it makes it really firm here, all right? So there's multiple uses for this. About 3 years ago, I arrived in Medina and my bag was chewed. You say, what does that mean, brother? The machine chewed my bag. So I always carry duct tape and it's about $2. Please buy it. In that same year as well, I twisted my ankle as we were walking. Duct tape. If you can't fix it with duct tape, the problem can't be fixed. Duct tape fixes the world, right? I have an engineer here, he'll tell me, yes, duct tape is for everything. Air conditioning system not working, duct tape. We need to know where is the place where we don't want any shoes so nobody brings najasa. Duct tape, right? I always bring duct tape. Your bag ripped, the strap broke. Make a new strap, duct tape, right? The world runs on duct tape, we just didn't know, okay? This is a life-saving essential, inshallah. Get yourself a pack of duct tape and think for it later. You say, subhanallah.
For snoring as well?
If for snoring? The sister's ready to go, mashallah. Alhamdulillah. For snoring as well. Talking about snoring. Eyepieces, for some of you, earplugs are important. Now, I'm the grand champion in sleeping in Muzdalifah, mashallah. I don't know if any of you will be able to do it. I'm out like that. 3 seconds you'll be talking, I say, inshallah, we'll talk to you in Fajr. Salaamu alaykum. I'm very good with my sleep, mashallah. Noise, not, I'm the grand champion. Everyone in Hajj, they're like, subhanallah, Sheikh Yahya, how did you do that? With the rocks under your eyes, like, alhamdulillah. That's just how I am. Some people, they need this. There will be lights. It'll be as bright as this in the area we're sleeping in Muzdalifah. If you need darkness, you need one of these. If you need quiet, bring for yourself earpieces. As important as your dehydration, as important as duct tape, as unscented soap, antibacterial sunscreen. This is, I think, $9. It is 50 plus, lasts 4 hours. Get the sport one, which lasts even if you're sweating, because you will be sweating. Go for this particular one. It says right on it, sweat resistant, water resistant. It is fragrance free sunscreen, right? No scent to it. If you can't find this particular one, I've taken a photo of this, I've taken photos of the other one. Any one that they tell you you can use on babies is usually good as well, because it won't have any of the fragrances and things. Baby skin is something that is normally the best place you want to shop for this stuff, will be in the baby aisle anyway, inshallah. Sunscreen, doesn't have to be fancy. Get something with a high SPF. We will be walking in the sun. When we throw jamarat is at right after dhuhr. Like, you're going to be walking at 10 a.m. By the time we take the 2 hours to get there, it's dhuhr, meaning the sun is right above you, and it will be hot. It will be hot, and there's nothing wrong with putting the sunscreen. I cake myself with it. I put a good amount of it, and alhamdulillah, I'm not itchy or burned or flaky after, when many other people are. So if you see, who's this white guy with all the white on him? That's me. It's just, I'm ready for the walk, inshallah. Another thing that might be worth your while, especially for those of us who are not used to the heat, and as you fly into Mecca, most of you are going to get swollen feet. As you fly into Medina, from the plane trip, you know, your veins and so on, these are $7-$8 from Red Dot. I have a better pair, because I travel a lot, so I have a really nice pair that I bought at the hospital. But these are miracle socks. They soothe tired, achy legs and feet. So we're in Medina, and you've been wanting, you know, subhanAllah, the heat swells you up. Put these on before you go to sleep. You say, oh, brother, socks in the heat? Yes. Put them on, release that water retention, get your blood flowing back to where it should be. These are important, inshallah, for those of you who don't travel regularly or you have a problem with your feet swelling, okay? Very important, because if your feet swell, it's uncomfortable in your shoes and it's uncomfortable walking the distances that we will be walking. Finally, the last things, and I spoke about, getting quells and things for on the plane. Grab yourself a couple of these vomit bags. They're for free on the airline. If you feel sick in a bus, always have that at the ready, inshallah. Get yourself a small sewing kit, especially for the sisters. You'd be surprised how many sisters, as they're walking, someone steps on their abaya, or as they're going up the escalator, it gets caught, and all of a sudden there's a large rip. And if you have that in your thing, it's something, safety pins, little bit of thread, it's something that is very, very important, inshallah, for you. Savlon, antibacterial. And for our brothers, you know how I spoke about the chafing? Eventually, you're going to get some kind of fungus, or, you know, it just, because of the sweat and the heat and so on, get yourself an antifungal cream for brothers and sisters, inshallah. It will release any itching. So if you get sunburned, you can put it. If you've gotten an abrasion or a cut, you can put it. And I don't know, I think it's called antifungal cream at a pharmacy, inshallah. Now for your medicines, any of us who are taking medicines, I want you to understand that your prescriptions will not be of value over there, except to suggest the name of the drug you need. But if you are going there and you're on prescription medicine, get a 2 month supply, because you're going to lose some of it. Don't put it all in one bag. None of this should be put in one bag. Because as my bag got chewed up in Medina, 6 out of every 50 to 100 passengers lose their bag entirely. Because it's very busy. There's 300,000 people landing every day. 300,000 people, most of them have 1-2 bags. That's nearly 500,000 bags that are being processed. You could be that one that bag doesn't make it. And even if they find out where it is, they're not going to deliver it to you in Medina, in Mecca. It's not deliverable. It's not the priority that they have during the time of Hajj. I've actually received my bag back home in Perth, not over there, after 20 days over there. They said, oh, we'll send it to you in Perth, it'll be easier. Right? It's just, where are they going to find you in Mina? So don't put all your medicines, don't put your asthma puffer, don't put your insulin all in one bag. Get a 2-month supply, tell your doctor I'm going to Hajj, I need a 2-month supply. Purchase the medicines that are needed, divide them up into 3 lots, one that you keep with you on board, one that you put in one bag, one that you put in another bag, inshallah. That is due diligence and it's something that is important. Headphones, if you like listening to the Quran, if you want to listen to dua, if it's something that helps you when you speak with your family on the phone, there's going to be so many other people around you. You're not going to be able to use speakers and it's tough to hear. Headphones are really nice item. Nutrition. Don't buy or bring any chocolates. It's going to melt. And if you get stuff, this is a peanut kind of thing. It has sugar. You can get the protein ones without chocolate, without things that will melt. I kind of like the taste of these, so I actually bring 10 boxes of these, so about 50 of these. And I'll probably eat 2 or 3 on the walk because you need energy and you want good energy. You don't want to take excessive amounts of sugars or chocolates or lollies or things like that. So a protein shake and other things like that are really, really nice. I also bought, I didn't bring it today, but I took a photo of it, Gatorade mix that you can add if you didn't want to get this kind of nutritional thing. So those are the essentials that you need to purchase in the coming days, inshallah. Priority going to be your foot gear. Get used to walking them. If you have sneakers that are really comfortable now, don't worry about the color, don't worry about the shape. As long as you're comfortable in them, those are the ones you want to bring. Number two, you want to bring something that is going to be for ihram, that is comfortable, that you can wear and be comfortable with it. And number three, you want to ensure your dehydration, nutrition, and the extra things like hooks and things like that are things that you purchase. So I'll send pictures of each of them before the end of the day to you, inshallah. Now, what I'm going to do, because I'm going to end, it's 1 o'clock, we're going to do our prayer soon. I have sent this as a PDF to our WhatsApp. You can have a card copy from it now. I also made a copy of the Umrah and the Hajj 1-page summary. You want to memorize the steps in each of them. So this is something you want to read and kind of get the hang of. I mean, when I say steps, it doesn't have to be critical, but you want to know the steps of Hajj. So to make it easy for you, and we're going to end with this inshallah, I want you to put your hand out in front of you. Trust me. All right? Hajj is right now. All right? Hajj is right in front of you. This day is the shortest day. It's the thumb. It's important, but it's not as important. This day is the day before Arafah. It's the day we go to Mina. We're going to arrive to Mina on this day, right? And that's when we're first going to get to our tent, and you're going to see the place, and there's going to be a little bit of shock. You're going to be like, oh my God, the bathroom, it's just a hole in the floor. And the same place that you go to the bathroom, there's a spout above it, that's where we shower. Oh my goodness, they don't have any hooks on the door. Alhamdulillah, Sheikh Yahya told us to buy hooks. You'll remember this day, you'll smile to yourself when you see the bathroom. All right? So put that in. That's the first day. Then I want you to make your shahada. This is the most important day of Hajj. This is the day of Tawheed. It's the day of Arafah. The day of Arafah, the day before Eid. Everyone here is going to be fasting. Everyone here is going to be hoping to be where you are, inshallah, next year. Everyone will have that jealousy in their heart if they have faith to be blessed enough to be in a place where they can make their conviction and shahada to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the most important day of Arafah. The Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Hajj Arafah. If you're there on that day before the sun sets, at the time the sun sets, you have your Hajj. Everything else we can fix. Oh, Brother Yahya, I got my period. Oh, Brother Yahya, I didn't do this. Oh, Brother Yahya, this. Were you there? Al-Hajj Arafah. We'll fix it. There's ways to fix it. There's fiqh to fix it. Don't worry. Don't panic. All right, we put that down. Now we have three more days. These are the 3 days of Mina. When we wake up in from Arafah, we're going to go to sleep in Muzdalifah. After Maghrib prayer, we're not going to pray in Arafah. We're going to go to a place called Muzdalifah. Allah orders this in the Quran. He says, فَإِذَا أَفَضْتُم مِّنْ عَرَفَاتٍ فَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ عِنْدَ الْمَشْعَرِ الْحَرَامِ. When you have finished your day of Arafah, remember Allah greatly, go to Al-Mash'ar al-Haram, which is Muzdalifah. And we're going to spend the night there. We're going to take a bus there. It's about 7 kilometers. Inshallah, we're one of the first groups to reach Arafah. And when we get there, I'm going to be a drill sergeant. Brothers, mark the territory. Sisters in the middle. You're not going to, oh, I want to be with my wife. No, no, there's no wife, brother. Sisters in the middle, because there's going to be the Ummah of Muhammad walking through. And unless we secure our place, they're going to, any gap, they're going to cross right over you. You're going to have people hitting you in the head every couple of minutes. So you want everyone to be together in a corner, away from the bathrooms, high up from the slope where the water doesn't descend on us. And I'll take care of you, inshallah, but you have to listen. It's very frantic in Muzdalifah as soon as we get there. So that's this valley of Muzdalifah. Then we're going to wake up, pray Fajr. And after Fajr, just before the sun rises, everyone's going to start moving. We're going to wait a little. And I know the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is that we move very early, but we're going to wait a little bit until the sun is about the, just where the mountain, once I see it above the mountain, I'll start to move. You'll see everyone around us has left. And then I want you to take a look at Muzdalifah and what our ummah has done to it. All the garbage left, all the, you know, and this is, we're in the camp of the Australians and the Canadians and the Americans. You'll find that the cleanest of camps are those who came from countries like Africa, from China, from Bangladesh. Their camps are much cleaner than what we've been, you know, everyone tells you don't throw garbage on the street. What you see in those camps is what you don't see in other places. And then we're going to start walking out on this third day. It's called Yawmun Nahr, the day of sacrifice. Now this is going to be the busiest day for us. There's so much stuff that we're going to do. We're going to walk from Muzdalifah to Jamarat. And my intention, inshallah, with you is that we're not going to stop at our tent in Mina. We're going to go all the way. And we're going to go all the way to Jamarat, because if we stop, we'll probably be held until the sun rises higher and it'll get hotter and hotter. But that will depend on what my other friends and other groups are on the phone with me telling me the conditions are. There might be jams, there might be security, some people might have fallen. We'll play it by ear. It might be that we're forced back to our tent. But our intention, go all the way to Jamarat, throw our Jamarat inshallah, just after the Zawal, after the time of Salatul Dhuhr. It's by that time that our Udhiyah, our Qurban would have been done. And it's at that time we've walked and we've stoned Jamarat and our slaughter has been done. We're going to cut our hair and we can remove. So we're going to go into our hotel in Aziziyah. And the reason we have Aziziyah as the first place to stop is because it makes that process, which is the most difficult day, easy. Other people have to go all the way to Mecca, and it's a difficult, I don't care if you're in the Hilton, it's tough to get to Mecca on that day. After all that energy you've expended in Muzdalifah and Arafah and all these things that you've done. So we'll have a shower, change our clothes, cut our hair, and inshallah we will try to make an effort to go down to do our tawaf. But that will depend on the crowds. Your safety is my number one priority. Your safety is the most important thing, inshallah. If we hear that there's people who haven't arrived there, we're gonna go. If it's still busy, we might delay it and we can make tawaf الإفاضة the next day or even the day after that. Okay? That's the second day. What we have to do is return back to Mina. So the walk to Mina, our tent in Mina, and we have to spend the majority of the night in Mina. For every night you don't spend in Mina, you have to offer a blood sacrifice to charity to make an expiation of the sins that, of missing Mina. So we don't want that to happen, inshallah. So we're going to go back to Mina, spend the night. The next morning, a little bit after Fajr, we'll walk out. We'll go throw our jamarat, and we'll spend all day in Azizia, all day in the Haram, and then at night we'll go back to Mina, and that will be the last time we're in Mina. When we walk out, we will walk out with our bag, inshallah, and your Hajj is done. Your Hajj, inshallah, will be done. It'll be done on Arafah, but you will be completely done, inshallah, by that day. 5 days. Every time you look at your hand, you're going to remember. What's the first day? We get to Mina. Shock. Thumb is your day of shock. Oh my Allah, Allah. But you're in Ihram, so you can't say anything bad to me. Oh Allah, ya Allah, what is this? Then the next morning we take a bus to Arafah, Shahada. We go to sleep in the valley of Muzdalifah. We wake up, the biggest day is longest day. The longest day, look at my long finger. The longest day is the day of Nahr. We're going to do our slaughter, will be done for us. We're going to walk to Jamarat for the first time. And we're going to throw the 7 Jamarat. And the big one only. And we're going to do our rituals. Go to Azizia, take off our clothes, have a nice shower, have a nice feed. And then inshallah go to Mecca for Tawaful Ifada. If we're able to do it inshallah, depending on the circumstances. And then we go back to Mina. The next day the same. Next day the same. Last day inshallah. And we are back in Azizia for 2 days, and then we go to Mecca al-Mukarramah. Then you have a nice hotel. And you're going to say, oh, wow. Alhamdulillah. I finished the Hajj, and now I have Jannah. Because it will feel like Jannah. Right? Wallahi. And it's one of the reasons that we elected to do Medina first, and to continue in that sense, inshallah. All right, so let's break I've gone over 5 minutes a little bit past one. Let's break for those of you who need to make wudu, you can make wudu. We'll pray our dhuhr prayer, inshallah, and then we'll have a little bit of food, and then I will take some of your questions and answers, inshallah. Okay? Allahi barakikum, subhanakallahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I believe so. Ah, okay.